This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
Coming to you live, this is Lock and Load. If you're currently watching on the video stream on Facebook and it looks like I have a disembodied head, that's because I'm wearing a green shirt against the green screen, so my apologies for that one. Have you ever wondered how we got police departments? You ever wondered how that happened, how that came about? Well, I did. If you look at this, you can sort of see the cunning Marxist logic of defunding the police. If your 911 call gets forwarded to a social worker for all nonviolent crises, what's not to like? The social workers will all be non-cisgendered women with studies degrees and will all be reliable lefty voters. But why do we have the police in the first place? So, you know, somebody I know called the Seattle City Councilman Dan Strauss after he voted to reduce the Seattle police budget by 50% and left a history lesson about police on his phone. You can find out about this kind of stuff by looking at books like The Autumn of the Middle Ages by Johann Huizinga and The Broken Spell, A Cultural and Anthropological History of Pre-Industrial Europe by Pieter Spierenberg. You know, Dutch scholars. But here's the deal. Back in the day, there weren't any police forces. So if you ban the police, you're just going to take us back to the days of the jolly old patriarchy. Betcha never considered that one, did you? And we all know what went down back in those days, thanks to the dead white males. In the countryside, the nobles had their own private armies, and that's why in dead white male William Shakespeare's War of the Roses plays, we get the English nobles endlessly worrying about our powers will get to the battlefield, when our powers will get there. They were talking about their own private peasant armies. But in the 16th century, all the European monarchs went to work nationalizing their armies and disarming the nobles. So then the nobles all became courtiers and characters in Trollope's Palliser novels, and the peasants went to the wall. But then there's another Shakespeare play, Romeo and Juliet. We learn that what was going down in the towns. The play, set in Verona, Italy, begins with a street brawl between the Montague and the Capulet servants who, like their masters, were sworn enemies. Sort of like their own little private security force, wouldn't you think? Wouldn't you say? Because back in the day, there were no police forces in the cities. Instead, the notables, like the heads of the Montague clan or the Capulet clan, each ruled their clan and kept order within the clan. Outside the clan, well, occasionally there might be a street brawl on the clan borderlands. But then, from there, we get another dead white male. I have fun doing this. Charles Dickens, his Oliver Twist is all about gangland London. Bill Sykes, thug, artful dodger, pickpocket, before its pacification by the Metropolitan Police. Then there's West Side Story, who I actually have like a... Russ Tamblyn is actually a cousin of mine in some way, and he was in West Side Story. In Leonard Bernstein's West Side Story, we see the Romeo and Juliet scenario played by all-American ethnic gangs that are not yet assimilated to the middle class. So finally, a police officer... Officer Krupke, not that he was good for anything. Huizinga and Spierenberg wrote about the pacification and privatization of European society in the last 500 years. What they mean is the gradual replacement of gangs and clans and public executions with police and courts and prisons. But then again, then there's a story about prisons. First they imprisoned madmen, and then they imprisoned the poor in workhouses, and then they imprisoned the criminals. They were just, wow. And Why do we have our modern pacified middle class cities? Now, nobody knows, least of all the lefties, but I have an idea. It's because violence and blood feuds and gangs do not pay. Are you listening, Minneapolis? Is there anybody on the phone at the moment? And notice in the USA, every immigrant wave involves a surge in gangs. The Irish had their gangs in the 19th century. The Jews had their gangs in the turn of the 20th century. The Italians had their gangs till the day before yesterday. But as each immigrant climbs into the middle class, their gangs disappear. Today we have black gangs and Hispanic gangs because those are the ethnic groups that have not yet climbed into the middle class. But we also have the gentry kids and their fake gangs, like Antifa. Do you remember Lenny and Radical Chic? Now, the problem with police is that people want to have their cake and eat it, too. And nice lefty liberal journalist Jill Lobey's ghetto side, we find that minority communities are angry that the police and justice system do not catch and convict murderers when everybody knows who's done it. And they're also angry that the police arrest young gangbangers for minor crimes. Well, guess what? It's hard to prosecute gangbangers for murder because they intimidate the witnesses. It's easier to prosecute murdering gangbangers minor offenses because the police are the witnesses. Because nobody comes forward in the community that may know something. So they want to defund the police. Okay, fine. But then we'll get more gangs and clans and stuff, groups. We'll have all kinds of stuff. And the gangs will not be led by nice, non-cisgendered social workers. They're going to, you know, they're going to make what happened in Chaz or Chop or Chud or whatever that was, they're going to make that look like an afternoon at the zoo. This will be rough and tough. You're going to have clan chieftains and patriarchs of old. And it's going to be based on people who can organize and here's something, provide leadership. It's going to be based on something where people can be inspired. And that will be the whole, you know, what was old is going to be new again. And then we'll start moving back towards a political sort of system because that's the way it all leads. So we're going to go back to Benjamin Franklin. You know, he said, experience keeps a dear school, but fools will learn in no other and scarce in that. I'm puzzled, though, you know, when you think about it. I'm puzzled. Regular schools charge tuition in advance, but the School of Experience, it charges its tuition after the fact. I kind of wonder why that is. So these guys want to get rid of police. They don't even understand what that means. Once they get rid of police, some other things are going to have to happen. Now, there will become a bigger line of demarcation now than there already was. In the beginning, it'll be bad, but there will be an adaptation when that happens, because that's what humans do. We adapt. And as we adapt, those of us that are all, would normally be characterized as law-abiding, we're going to adapt, and we're going to identify those who are coming at us to attack us simply for existing. And in the beginning, it'll be defensive, and after a while, we'll get sort of tired of it, and then it's going to be offensive. And then we're just going to move to seek out, close with, and destroy. And this will all be based on doing away with the police. I mean, there's only so many things a social worker can do. A social worker looking at somebody who is strung out on bath salts, who's eating the face of a guy asleep on an underpass in Florida. Cop had to shoot the guy 8 times with a .40 caliber weapon. I'm sure that the social worker could have had like a, you know, listen, just fill out this clipboard. I know that you actually live somewhere. I know you've taken some bad bath salts. We can take care of you. Just talk to me. We can work this out. When the demon looked up at her or him and growls at him, I wonder what their response is going to be. They probably beat him to death or try out of fear. Beat him to death with the old clipboard. Anyway, we'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
firearms for sport, military, and law enforcement. 100% made in America parts and materials. We manufacture revolutionary three-position binary triggers that can be selected to fire on the pull and release, or set to fire normally. We strongly support and uphold our Second Amendment. We hope you do too. Get a 10% discount when you mention the code word lock and load at franklinarmory.com.
Protect, hunt, compete. This is the mantra of CZUSA, delivered via a lineup of superlatives with handguns proven to function in both real-world and competitive settings. Rifles designed specifically for the mission, whether it is law enforcement or built for the plains of Africa. CZUSA has engineered peerless reliability into their superlative product line. Go to cz-usa.com and find out what serious shooters have known since 1991.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Lumines. The Lumines anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Jampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Lock and load. Once upon a time, in a land far, far away, the primary shareholder of Brill Cream, that would be California Governor Gavin Newsom, the leftist wonder boy of America's largest and most leftist state, was considered to be a top future contender for the White House. Now that's not so clear. And, the future is not so clear now that he's made it clear to Californians that every time somebody just says the word Wuhan virus, He's going to shut down their places of work and imprison them in their homes. Back in March, on one PBS outlet, they reported California Governor Gavin Newsom ordered many businesses to temporarily close their doors to create social distance and to flatten the curve. Now, the explanation for this measure was always meant to be a short-term way to keep the pressure off the health care system, the whole flatten the curve thing. So he says officials want to reduce the curve or the wave of patients that hit the health care system at one time. And Clemens, he said, one way to think about the health system is that it's there to manage the flow of patient health needs across the population in the same way that a drainage system is there to manage the flow of water when it comes from storms. Sometimes when it storms, the drains aren't able to manage all the rain, and this leads to the damaging floods. So just picture what could happen when a surge of patients check into doctors' offices across the country. So the idea behind social distancing and the flattening out of the curve is an effort to spread out the flow of patients so that it doesn't overwhelm the system like a major storm at any one point in time. California didn't stop, though, at flattening the curve, nor did any of the other Democrat-run states. They kept this up, and they kept it up under the guise of it was almost like they were trying to say, we're going to stop all death. Now, in the meantime, the hospitals, of course, weren't doing cancer treatments. They weren't taking people with heart conditions unless they had a heart attack. The whole norm of everything else that goes on to people medically, which people die of every day, 8,000 times a day, every day in the United States, 8,000 people die from just normal, other mundane stuff that is not the Wuhan virus. That curve went crazy. But they never took anybody in. Now, come May, Grill Cream Newsom got out there and told people the temporary was so yesterday. He said, we're not going back to normal. It's a new normal with adaptations and modifications until we get to immunity and a vaccine. I used to watch Steve Martin, his stand-up comedy routine before he, I guess, went into acting, and he would do this thing where he would say, whenever you're going to rob a place, you got to have a demand, and one of them's got to be a crazy demand. So you got to ask for $1 million in cash, getaway car, and the letter M stricken from the English language. And then he would chuckle and go, getaway car. And yet, this is what Newsom is doing. He's out there saying, we're going to do this the way I want to do it because I am the all-master being of time, space, and dimension, and we're not even going to attempt to go back there until we tamp this down and it doesn't really happen that much and we have a vaccine and it doesn't even exist anymore. And a lot of Democrat blue-held cities did the same thing. Now, they did tentatively move forward with opening, but as was to be expected, once people were let out of their home prisons and once prisoners were let out of the real prisons, people started to get sick again. So what did he do? He reinstated the economic end of California all over again. As you know, you can't hide from a virus. You can do all the things you can to mitigate the effect and the impact, but you can't hide from it. So we saw this, I guess, on Twitter. California's now closing indoor operations statewide for restaurants, wineries, movie theaters, family entertainment, zoos, museums, and card rooms. I, to this day, don't know what a card room is. Couldn't tell you what a card room. What is a card room? Does anybody know what a card room is? I just want to know. And then July 13th, we get this new as COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations continue to rise. 30 counties will now be required to close indoor operations, force fitness centers, places of worship, offices for non-critical sectors, personal care services, hair salons and shops, and malls. The counties impacted, I'm not going to go through that. I think it's like 80% of the population. So at this moment, it's not really clear if he's imprisoning his citizens without due process because he genuinely believes he must in order to try to prevent a single Wuhan virus death. Or if he's still doing it with this eye to depriving Trump of his greatest strength during the election, which is the economy. whatever, Newsom, who is his state's chief executive, is telling his state. He's ensuring that California, their economy sinks even lower. Now, right now, it's worth noting that their vast wealth is concentrated along the coast of Sacramento. The rest of California is a very poor state with no economic resilience. They don't have a middle class. Middle class is gone. They have poverty, and they have millionaires. Unfortunately, other states, you know, red states, are getting in the act, announcing lockdowns all over the place in response to the leftist media's scorn. This is one of the things I hate about politicians. They give in to pressure. I think one of the best things I ever learned how to do was how not to care. And as a politician who is beholden to his constituents, I would think that'd be something you want to, you know, try to do. The curve is flattened, people. We know that to protect the elderly, we know we got to protect the elderly. We know that hydroxychloroquine and some zinc and some other stuff works if you give it promptly, and we know how to use ventilators so they help rather than kill people. Hospitals are not going to be overwhelmed, even though they're open and actually taking people that have other things going on because life goes on. And right now, the reason hospitals are filling up is because of all that backlog and logjam of people that couldn't get in there during March, April, and May. Right now, this endless cycle of lockdown and release, this doesn't save lives. This doesn't save anybody. It destroys them. And that's still the road that Newsom has chosen for California. And all these other equally uncourageous governors are doing the same thing. And we have to get past that. Because this is doing more harm than good. We're meant to be social. This is why I saw MSNBC did an interview of a bunch of pediatricians asking them if they wanted their kids to go back to school. And every one of them said, yes, I do. Yes, I do. And it's probably because they understand what coronavirus is, what COVID-19 is, or SARS-CoV-2, whatever you want to call it. They probably understand it. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Here we go!
We know there's no such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At STI, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in the gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. STIguns.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
I am not done, but I have found a way to thrive. Elevate. Elevate is a wearable technology designed to mitigate your active lifestyle. Whether you're a professional athlete looking to enhance performance, a yoga practitioner wishing to gain more flexibility, or a person seeking natural ways to relieve pain,
benefits encompass all walks to life and lifestyles.
Elevate is not a cure, but the IE-infused clothing will give you that extra percentage needed to help you get moving. For more information or to order, go to ElevateBill.com. Elevate, because I am not done yet.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump says school districts that are hesitant to reopen for in-person classes in the fall over concerns regarding the coronavirus pandemic are making a terrible decision.
I would tell parents and teachers that you should find yourself a new person, whoever's in charge of that decision, because it's a terrible decision. Because children and parents are dying from that trauma, too. They're dying because they can't do what they're doing.
The president continues telling CBS News,
mothers can't go to work because all of a sudden they have to stay home and watch their child, and fathers. But I also say a decision like that is politics.
Former Jeffrey Epstein girlfriend and associate Ghislaine Maxwell pleaded not guilty to charges of recruiting teenage girls for Epstein, Maxwell being held without bond until her trial in 2021. This is USA Radio News. According to a new Axios Ipsos coronavirus poll, 7 in 10 American parents say it's too risky to send their kids back to school this fall amid the coronavirus pandemic. Some school districts have already announced they won't reopen or will reopen on a modified hybrid schedule that combines online learning with in-classroom teaching. Dr. Scott Atlas reminds parents,
at-risk children from this disease for fatality is nearly zero. I never hear anyone talk about the harms of closing schools. The harms are against the children. Anyone who prioritizes children would open the school. This is a level of hysteria. Like, this is something, I feel like I'm living in a Kafka novel here.
Atlas speaking there on Fox News, and another big day on Wall Street as the Dow closed up 557 points to finish today at 26,643. The S&P and NASDAQ also up. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
To you live, this is Lock and Load. Does this remind you right now what we're in the middle of? Does this remind you of another election? It was 29 November 2015. Election results day in Bihar, one of the most populous states in India. Almost every poll, including exit polls, had predicted a landslide victory for the challenger, the National Democratic Alliance. For weeks, news channels had panels of experts vehemently expounding the reasons for these poll results. The incumbent state government was blamed for cozying up with activists instead of governing, and also branded as arrogant and incompetent. And the leaders of the NDA were lauded for their prodigious campaigning skills and their impeccable ground game and their strategy. So when the vote count commenced, the early trends had the NDA leading. The experts replicated their previous proclamation. They lambasted the incumbent while they lavished blandishments upon the challenger. And they even began advising the incumbent on remedial measures after their humiliating defeat. And as all of this pompous air was being blown around, the tide began to gradually turn. The NDA lead began to wane. And in an hour, then the current government had a slim lead. Then the lead grew bigger and bigger. And by midday, it was clear that they were reelected. Some of the news personnel there locally offered some perfunctory apologies. Others blamed the people for lying to the pollsters, and some refrained from talking about the polls, and they proceeded as if nothing happened. Now, this is not the first time, and it's not going to be the last time, that the polls are going to be wrong, so appallingly wrong. And the big question is why these polling agencies that consistently commit these mistakes, why do they continue to be treated with the utmost reverence? And why are their polls reverently put out there by the news organizations like this is the thing? So, focusing on the polling process, the first step is the actual sampling. Now, most agencies have a demographic-based sampling on parameters like age, race, gender, religion, income, region, political affiliation. In some cases, it is a combination of those parameters. The next step is the actual interview. And I've never been polled. I don't know anybody that's ever been polled. Nobody's ever come to me and say, hey, what were you doing today? I was cutting the grass. You? I was polled. Nobody's ever done that. So the next step, you know, after that, they get the resulting information, and it's all compiled and extrapolated. And all of those mentioned stages out there are replete with elements of randomness that presents a very huge challenge and huge risks. Because if you're actually out there doing a random poll, you might find out something that you didn't want to find out. So it is almost impossible to define the optimum size and decide the proportion of diversity for any given sample such that it is an appropriate reflection of the entire voter base. The sample size and variety are probably based on the time and the budget and the instinct of the polling agency. I'm sure it has nothing to do with what they want the outcome to be. Secondly, the composition of the sample into demographic groups is deeply flawed. Just because individuals are from the same income group, age group, religious group, and race group does not mean that their life experiences and outlook on life are the same. There's several cases of deep ideological and political difference among the same age group of people within a family. So this means voting choice is never going to be identical. Polling 5,000 black American men in their early 30s with college degrees is not going to capture the voting choices of 500,000 black American men in their early 30s with a college degree who run small businesses. It's just not going to do it. So the conducting of the interview has its own inherent shortcoming. To question strangers about their voting and the choice may either yield evasive answers or, out of sheer politeness, an answer that they think the interviewer wants to hear through in some situations the truth will present itself. Then for the exit polls, the politically charged atmosphere outside the polling booths presents another challenge. Exit polls are absolutely propaganda, by the way. But to understand any individual and his voting choice, the interviewer will have to spend a considerable amount of time with the interviewee and ask specific questions related to key issues, observe their lives, their social and financial situation. And pollsters don't have the time to do that, and they don't have the budget for that kind of focus. So not conducting an interview hand-to-hand, perhaps doing it over the phone or online or a paper form, it presents its own risk. In addition to fear that the opinions may be leaked, people may just falsify, and there's no way to verify that. So the core of the problem is the lack of statistical guideline. It's the lack of methodical protocol. It's the lack of interviewing technique, and it's the lack of transparency. The fact that we have millions voting across deeply diverse states, this exacerbates the already existing challenge. And that's probably why we can see starkly contradicting results from various polls for the same election. And then we come to the experts. These are usually adept wordsmiths. They've covered politics for a very long time, and they conjure up a narrative out of whole cloth. You want 10 strong reasons why any given political party will certainly be back in power? They can give it to you. I mean, just like that. You want 10 strong reasons why the same political party will receive an emphatic drubbing at the polls? Well, they can give that to you, too. And even if they do interact with polls, and even if they do interact with voters, they will have identical challenges that pollsters do. So in the end, the opinion of the expert may be backed by years of experience in education and research, but their opinion is going to be no different from anybody else with some basic understanding of politics. The expert opinions are just conjured, you know. If polls were to believe Brexit was never supposed to occur, Trump was not supposed to be president. And it's beginning to feel a lot like 2016 because the polls show Biden beating Trump comfortably. So there's a whole lot of reasons not to trust these polls. First, we're 3 months away from the elections. That's a lot. There's going to be a lot that's going to go up. All of their general narrative has been defeated. But a lot of this, when you look at this, this is what it comes down to. This is all based upon modeling. Polls are a part of modeling. And if you're to accept the premise of the way they do the poll and all this other stuff, this is simply polls are like the supposition of gun control, for example. They'll get out there and say, this is illegal. If we do this, this will stop this from happening. They're trying to affect a behavior, except you cannot affect a behavior. Polls tried to affect a behavior, and they tried really hard to affect behavior in 2016, except nobody was hearing that. Nobody was hearing that. So, I don't know what the deal is. I don't know why they continue to do this. I don't know why they continue to think that we're listening. Whatever it is, it's incorrect. It is absolutely incorrect. They'll still be broadcast with a lot of fanfare. And, you know, don't worry about the polls. Whatever you do, don't worry about the polls. The polls are just, they're designed to get you to stop doing what you're doing. They're designed to get you to stay at home. If you're going to be, if you come from where I come from, in the political spectrum, they're going to tell me that exit polls show Joe Biden wins South Carolina. And then they're going to show me that Joe Biden wins the presidency. And they're going to show me all of this at about, you know, 6 o'clock in the afternoon on the day of voting. There's only one poll to be concerned with. It is the most important of all polls, simply because it is the count at the ballot box. That's the poll. And, you know, they're trying to influence your behavior. And all you got to do is make up your own mind and go and cast that vote. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insists on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Attention radio listeners, have you ever wanted to be independent of the utility companies and actually generate your own supply of off-grid electrical power? If so, this is going to be the most important message you'll ever hear. Here's why. A limited number of solar-powered backup generators are back in stock and now available. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running silently, secretly, in your own home. Run sump pumps, shortwave radios, computers, even keep food from spoiling. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more. That's MySolarBackup.com. Supplies are still limited and are available on a first-come, first-served basis only. MySolarBackup.com.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNLive.com. That's advertise at GCNLive.com.
On the firing line, coming to you live. This is Lock and Load. All of you that are listening or watching via Facebook, I've got stuff coming, and you're going to be able to hear all the other stuff. You're going to hear the bump that I just had because my bumps are awesome. You're going to be able to hear all that stuff, and I'm working on it. I am working on it. The anti-gun activism machine is getting sort of desperate, and I talked about this earlier. Researchers at UC Davis allege in a new paper that we have something called excess firearm purchases over the last few months have led to a significant increase in gun violence. This is explaining away the flurry of gun purchases that were made by a bunch of people that had never bought a gun before. These guys that wrote this, they have a baker's dozen advanced degrees and millions of dollars of funding from California taxpayers. They claim that there's been an excess number of firearms which were purchased this spring. They're referring, of course, to the record number of Americans who legally purchased guns to protect themselves and their loved ones. That's a little bit like saying there was some excess breeding going on. This is a natural right, affirmed and codified by the Constitution. It predates our government. It cannot be exercised in excess. And they don't claim a small excess either. They say 2.1 million excess firearms were sold from March through April. So, this paper they've written has not been peer-reviewed, it's not published in a journal, and it's not designed to identify causation, because it cannot identify causation. So it does not identify causation. And it's important to stress all three realities there, as the anti-gun activists are already presenting this unreviewed fantasy as a fact. So, the data that they used in this is from the Gun Violence Archive, a shadowy web scraping operation that only shares its data with certain parties. And, you know, in the past, there's been problems identified with their coding and some issues that may work, be at work in this study. And there's even been identified cases in which the Gun Violence Archive has included non-firearm-related injuries in their tally of injuries. So you cannot verify the data used because the Gun Violence Archive will not grant public access to their full data, but they readily authorizes its use by any anti-gun pseudo-scientist they want. So, they sort of cherry-pick who can and cannot use their unverified data. So, what we can do is try to build the same query the UC Davis team used to measure the association between legal excess guns purchases and gun violence, and then examine that limited result. And those limited results include incidents with these kinds of characteristics. gang involved, drive-by shooting, targeting rival gang members, drug deals, felon in possession of a firearm, stolen firearm, motorcycle club fights, airsoft and pellet guns, rubber bullets fired by police officers with no firearms involved. Do any of those seem like the perpetrators waited in line and filled out state and federal paperwork and then presented positive identification and then paid all the taxes and go along with the purchase price of their gun? Well, no. No, it doesn't. We know where criminals get their guns because they've told researchers. See, these researchers will go to prison. They'll say, excuse me, convicted felon dude, where did you get your gun? Oh, I got it from my girlfriend or my sister or one of a family member. Now, we cannot verify if those incidents were included in the data set or what percentage of incidents in the data set included any of those characteristics because the Gun Violence Archive is not public. It's secret. It's secret. So, this has been, a lot of people have requested access countless times over several years and they have yet to receive a response. I don't know why we, why do we bother? Now, there's limited data that could be reviewed, and it included at least one incident in which a concealed carry permit holder in D.C. shot a man who threatened him with an illegally carried firearm. Now, the basic premise of this study, that firearm ownership and violence are connected, is rooted in a flawed, disgraced, and ridiculous study, including the very study that led to the prohibition of the use of CDC funding for anti-gun advocacy. So, the first thing you have to do is ignore this fantastic premise. And you got to look past the skewed data, and you got to look past the misuse of that data. You've got to put objections to the determination of excess aside for just a minute, and take the authors at their word and review their findings. So the excess and is measured in terms of excess purchase rate, which they created by predicting the rates based on background check data from 2011 through February 2020, before the pandemic raged across the country. And the two states with the most excessive purchases were New Hampshire and Wyoming, which just happens to be two of the safest states in the union. But how did they know there was an excess? Well, they used historical background check data to predict sales in an unprecedented time. And their historical data also does not include Joe Biden, who has promised to give Beto the authority he craves to take your guns. Their historical data cannot account for the money the anti-gun activists will spend to saturate the airwaves and try to buy their candidates way into office this fall with the PPP money that they got from the federal government. And it also does not include a pandemic. Because this year is unprecedented. And so there has been no excess. And there can be no excess of Americans lawfully exercising their constitutional right. In reality, the number of firearms sold has generally increased every year, and the firearms are durable goods that last for years, and yet crime has generally decreased over the same period of time. That's one of those reality moments there, that one part that I just said. This has been a thorn in the side of the anti-gunners, and the millions of new gun owners present a new obstacle to the anti-gun elitists. So they produce this desperate attempt to smear you, the law-abiding American. Let me simply say this, and I'm not trying to get too complicated here simply because I'll confuse myself. And I don't want to confuse myself. It boils down to one thing. They know that you are not the cause of violence. Right now, the violence that is going up in blue cities where they have severe gun control, except they're not doing it and enforcing it against Antifa. Like in Chaz, Chop Chud, whatever it was. So we have this uptick in violence. It also has to do with the policing, or lack of it, as they defund the police, as the police become demoralized, as the police develop the blue flu. So is there an uptick in violence? Yes. Is it because a bunch of people went out and bought guns that aren't breaking laws in the first place? No, it is not. It has nothing to do with it. This is all a projection. if you will, a projection. They're allowing things to happen. Like I saw a video the other day where a little girl went and she found one of those emergency hammers that you can buy like at a car wash. And it fits on your keychain, and it also has a seatbelt cutter. So you can break the window and cut the seatbelt of somebody if you want to pull them out of the car and beat them half to death. These are videos that are being put out. Nobody's out there saying, you know, on YouTube, if I get out there and say, the way you install a trigger, and if I show that, I'm kicked off of YouTube. But on places like TikTok and all these other places, Instagram, they're putting videos like this up. They're telling people how to gain access to other people to hurt them. And for some reason, they don't see an issue with that. I don't quite understand that. But in the end, in the final analysis, there was no excess purchasing. As a matter of fact, my biggest problem is people have run out of guns now, and they're waiting for the supply chain to catch up, and I want this to continue on. I want it to keep going. So, but hey, they're panicking, so that's always a good thing, right? Going to be back in 21 hours, and between now and then, I want you to do one thing for me, please. Remember this, it's never been about gun control, not once, not ever. It has been, it's always going to be about total control. This has been Lock and Load. Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Fusing the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendo.